Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And now, a Boston Original on Boston Sports Original. It's Christian Arcan on WEEI.
The pitch, swinging a ground ball to short, down to a knee. Raffaello, he flips to Hamilton for the out that ends the ball game. The Red Sox win a wild one in game one of this three-game series with the Yankees. And Kenley Jansen now tied for fourth all-time with 440 career saves.
There you go. That is how it ended at Fenway Park last night. Welcome in. It's Arcand here. Reverend, and not Reverend Arcand today. It's not Sunday morning. That's usually when I do the Reverend thing. It's
I have
Saturday
been to a couple
afternoon.
Saturday masses, so it's not
Saturday
out of the...
I mean, I'm not sure. I don't even know if that's a real thing. But yeah, I guess today we'll just we'll drop that for today. We're going very heavy with the Red Sox today. Joe Braverman's the voice you heard right there, as you have me until 3 o'clock this afternoon. And it was a fun one last night at the old ball yard. By the way, the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Make It Ford Summer Sales Event. Make it the best summer ever with a great deal on the Bronco family or Ford F-Series, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. And as we get closer and closer to this trade deadline, which is just a couple days away now, as we get closer to that Tuesday deadline, Tuesday at 6 o'clock, is it, Joe? Is that the official time?
The official time is Tuesday at 6 o'clock.
6 p.m., okay. You saw on display last night a bunch of different things that I think we need to talk about right now. Number one, we saw that the need for late-inning relievers is still very real. We saw that there is still, I think, a lack of... what's the nice way of putting this? The starting pitching's falling apart, okay? In the second half of the season, the starting pitching has not been good. You have not seen, other than Cooper Criswell against the Rockies, you have not seen great starting pitching performances. I know Pivetta was good in that first game against the Dodgers, and then the bullpen gave it away. But other than that, between Tanner Houck, Bayo now, and Cutter Crott, like, you're not seeing that same strong starting pitching staff that you saw for the first half, most of the first half of the season. And that is with James Paxton coming in. I still believe that. And listen, I don't know if you listened to our program this week. I am much higher on James Paxton. I was shocked that the Dodgers let him go. I thought that was very surprising that they just designated him for assignment, because as much as people want to say, oh, he's old, oh, he sucks, oh, this, that, whatever, going into the month of June, he was 5-0. with a 3.29 ERA. He was a very, very good starter for the first 2 months of the year. In fairness, since then, he's been pretty bad. In June and July, his ERA has ballooned up to where it is now, which is in the mid-fours, and that happened through some bad starts, but the most recent one we saw him, he was pretty good against the Red Sox. So he's got wins against good teams. He's got wins against the Braves, the Twins, the Red Sox, etc. So, you know, this isn't a guy who I think is just a scrap heap pickup. This is a guy who I think there were a lot of other offers in for, people waiting for him to clear waivers. The Red Sox decided to get a little proactive about it. They didn't give up much. They gave up some Dominican Summer League kid, and that's all it really took to bring Paxton in. Other teams, I guess, were waiting for him to just clear and put a bid in. So I'm glad the Red Sox do have another body in the rotation, but I think just watching Bayo last night, watching him give that lead back after Ref Snyder made it 3-1, watching him sort of miss his spots and groove pitches on in tough situations, tough settings, I thought in his last start he looked a little more promising. I thought he was striking guys out. The changeup looked like it was working. It seemed like maybe they were going to get a different Brian Bayo in the second half. But even if you do, I'm not sure that's going to be good enough to carry you into the playoffs. It's just you need more help there. You need more help in that starting rotation. That was on display last night. The need for another late inning reliever. My goodness, I mean, how many more of these do you need to see? Even Jansen making his triumphant return after sitting out that Colorado series. That first at bat against Judge, tremendous. Bam, bam, bam. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. He didn't swing at a single pitch and struck him out. Next two guys, Wells and Torres both got on, and he was able to strike out LeMahieu and then get Volpe to ground out. But that was one of the only times it seemed like they got Volpe out at all, and that was not necessarily the cleanest inning I've ever seen from Kenley Jansen. He got the save. It's fine. One big swing, and all of a sudden we're talking about something else here. But that was to me anyway, and not just him. You know, it wasn't just him. I thought Boozer looked a little shaky out there for the first time in a while. That was the least amount of confidence I've had in him. Zach Kelly gave up a home run to Aaron Judge that I don't think has landed yet. That thing landed up in Lake Winnipesaukee. I mean, that was a absolute bomb over the camera wells in center field, which, have you ever seen a home run go there? I've never seen a home run go over those camera wells before.
I thought the Vlad Jr. one from about a month ago that went 470, I thought that one was the longest I've ever seen. Judge just topped it by a mile.
Yeah, at Fenway Park anyway. I know we just saw him hit bombs out in Colorado. Tyler O'Neill hit a crazy one in Soler. The home run the other day too, but at Fenway, I've never seen one go up over those cameras before. That was one of the biggest bombs I've ever seen. And then the next guy comes and squeaks one down the pesky pole. So I mean, you got some issues there in your bullpen still. You know, not everybody was shaky, but you know, Bayo in the fifth inning just wasn't able to get the job done. One thing I saw that I liked, and this may rearrange. I feel like with the Red Sox and the trade deadline, what their needs are kind of like stocks, you know, like you sort of watch the market and games go by and, you know, all of a sudden you need a relief pitcher and that's the high one. And then starting pitcher, you get a good start, so you don't really worry about that anymore. You know what I'm not as worried about right now? That right-handed power bat, because you had a lefty out there in Cortez who you did not have much trouble with. I thought that the Red Sox, with their righty-heavy lineup that I don't really love, I mean, that's, you know, you're out there watching some of these guys going, man, this, it'd be really nice if they could upgrade that, you know, like, no offense to Jamie Westbrook, but like, you know, this is a guy you got to see every single time there's a lefty now, and it just seems like that's not necessarily the best way to go about it. Romy Gonzalez, another one. I mean, these guys are guys that you want to see maybe on the end of the bench, you see in defensive situations, late in games, things like that. You need them to start against these lefties, and I just think that would be an easy fix. On the other hand, I thought those guys all looked pretty good. Almost everybody on the team got a hit last night. It was, other than Westbrook, it was really a nice thing to see. Duran, Ref Snyder, who had, I think, three hits in the game. Connor Wong, Devers, O'Neill, Yoshida. Like, everybody seemed like they were doing okay. Lefties, righties, whatever. And against the lefty, recently, and really all year long, that's been a major, major issue for this team. So if we're looking at the market today, you know, firing up the old stock tickers right now, I think at the very top, you got relief arms, right underneath that a starting pitcher, and right underneath that a little further down is your right-handed power bat, which I still think is very necessary, by the way. I think all three of those things are very necessary for this team.
Not even a power bat, just a right-handed bat. that can hit well.
Yeah, doesn't even need to necessarily. It doesn't need to be Vlad
Just
Jr.
Give me
That's
a good on base guy.
Yeah. Give me a slap hitter. Give me someone who can, you know, that was on base of like 350. Exactly. That would be fine with me. I think that would be fine with everyone. I mean, you don't, and it's not like what you have is so bad. It's not like what you have is so terrible that you're just, you know, you can't win with it. But you're going to get to the playoffs, we think. And when you get to the playoffs, you're going to face lefties. And if you have to keep rolling this lineup out there, it's just, what do you think is going to happen? You think you're going to keep getting performances like this? I mean, that's very optimistic. And there's guys this year who have surprised me, Joe. You know, I mean, a lot of these guys, I didn't think that David Hamilton was going to do anything this year. I didn't think Willy Abreu was going to be a Rookie of the Year candidate early on in the year. I know he's not really anymore, but, you know, he had a good game last night. I didn't think Yoshida would have a bounce-back season. There's a lot of guys this year who are surprising me. And especially against the Yankees, Yoshida, man, that's been fun to watch. He's been a real Yankee killer, along with Rafi Devers and a couple of other guys. But when it comes to that closer, when it comes to Clay Holmes, he comes out of that bullpen and he has nightmares about Masataka Yoshida. That guy is in his head. He is living rent free up there right now. And the Yankees, I mean, listen, this Yankee team is flailing. You saw it. They made mention of this during the broadcast.
You just mentioned it. They've had to bring their closer in the eighth inning.
Right, of a tie game. The Yankees in their last 35 games have a record of 11-24. 11-24 over their last 35 games. That is a free fall. That is a free fall for the New York Yankees. And the Red Sox and the Orioles both should be taking better advantage of this. I'm shocked that the Orioles haven't leapfrogged them yet. I'm surprised that that hasn't happened. The Orioles haven't been playing great lately either, and they've had a real opportunity here. The only team, it seems like, that has been able to make any kind of headway, and I'm not including the last, you know, week or so since the All-Star break, but prior to that, which is when these Yankee problems really started, the Red Sox are now five and a half games back out of first place in the American League East. That's how bad the Yankees have been, and also how little advantage the Orioles are taking of it. The Red Sox have an opportunity here, and I think one thing you can look at last night, another aspect of this that has to make you feel good if you're a Red Sox fan, is Alex Cora and the moves that he made. Those roster moves late in the game, getting Tyler O'Neill out of there, despite the fact that he is white hot right now. Getting him out of there, getting Abreu in there, getting Yoshida into that line. I mean, that was, I thought, brilliant. And actually, there was talk about it after the game. Alex Cora was asked about Tyler O'Neill and being a good teammate.
I think he's a guy on the mound. You know, he's really good against righties, and we felt that that was the right matchup. So I bet inside he's disappointed, but he's a team player. He understands what we're trying to accomplish here, you know, and he was on top on the first step right there, cheering for his teammate, and that was awesome.
It was awesome. It was awesome, and it was a tough call to make there, I thought. You know, considering what O'Neill's been doing, and considering the fact he had this lefty starter, O'Neill didn't have a great game. He was 1-for-3 with a hit and an RBI, and I think he struck out, but not like he was setting the world on fire like he was in Colorado. But he's still hot. He's still a guy that you want up there in most cases, and Cora just pulled the right strings. Getting Abreu up there to get to Yoshida and to give the Red Sox that lead was really, I thought, very, very smart. And, you know, you got some issues in that bullpen. It didn't seem like he was quite pulling all those right strings there either, as Boozer got in trouble right away. Winkowski had to get out of that inning. Bernardino gave up a couple runs. Kelly obviously gave up that couple home runs. Bailey Horn didn't have a clean inning. Kenley Jansen didn't have a clean inning. But they got the job done, and they were able to keep the Yankees at arm's length, which, listen, this is it. You know, we've been talking about this third wild card, and it is within reach. Kansas City won last night, so you didn't pick up a game, which is kind of unfortunate, but you're right there. You're one game out, and when it comes to the American League East, you know, you're 5.5 out from Baltimore, who should have a much bigger lead over the Yankees than they do right now. The Orioles have a two-game lead over the Yankees. That's, you know, considering how bad New York's been lately, that's disappointing. But if you're an Orioles fan, if you're a Red Sox fan, that's an opportunity. And this opportunity is here. It's here right now. And I think by the end of this weekend, we'll see how these next two games go. But if they go anything like this first one here, you still got a scrappy team. You got a team that believes. You got a team that believes in its manager, giving standing ovations to Craig Breslow when he walks into the locker room after signing him to the extension. You just got one missing piece. and that is that trade deadline. What are you going to do? Because I'll tell you what, Alex Cora can't be the move. Alex Cora can't be the big move at the deadline that gets you into the postseason. That's not going to do it. That's great for Alex Cora, great for his family. We'll hear from him and all the things he said this week about why he changed course and decided he was going to start talking about his contract and actually sign a contract midseason when he told us and other people that that was out of the question and he wasn't doing it. We'll get into all of that, and we'll get into what the plan is here for this deadline, because we know that there are still holes in this roster. We saw them on display last night. What is Craig Breslow doing? What's he thinking about doing? And most importantly, Red Sox fans, what do you want him to do? 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Red Sox and Yankees, we got another game coming up for you tonight. And, of course, Sunday Night Baseball tomorrow here with the Bronx Bombers in town. We'll take a quick break here. Joe Braverman going to tell you what's trending. And when we come back, we'll hear from Alex Cora.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We don't stop playing. I mean, you saw what happened on Sunday in L.A. You know, we had the tying run at the plate. Even down 20 to whatever, Duran hustling the triple, Rafi tagging up. You know, we play. Regardless of the score, we're going to play a certain way. And, you know, sometimes it looks tough, and we understand that it's going to be an uphill battle, but tonight, I was right next to Tech, and it felt like we were down by 7, and no, it was a 4-run game or 3-run game at one point, right? They did an amazing job putting good swings on it. The big boy, he is who he is, man. He is amazing. I haven't seen a guy hitting a ball there since 07. Back in the day, Manny used to live up there, and that was impressive. But our guys kept battling, and we got the W.
Cora after the game, feeling good about his team, probably feeling good about his contract, feeling good about the future. Seems like he's in a good place. Seems like he knows something about this team and what they're planning on doing. And it's Christian Arcand here with you. I'm here till 3 o'clock. We'll be joined later on in the program, 1:30. Chris Mason, a.k.a. Babyface Mace, is going to join us at 1:30 for Mass Live. And then at 2:30, the Mass Live party continues as the great Sean McAdam will join me to talk Red Sox. So we got a little Patriots next hour. We got the Red Sox at 2:30. And we'll have a couple of hunks from Mass Live talking to us about it. So that's something to look forward to there. Red Sox locked up Cora this week, which was a huge surprise to me. Joe, as you know, this was a big surprise to me, a big surprise to Adam Jones. Not so much Mego because he wasn't there on June 26th when Jones and I interviewed Alex Cora. Jones asked him point blank, have you had any talks about an extension, about your contract? And Alex Cora said point blank, no. And he didn't just say no. He said, no, I told them before the season, I don't want to talk about my contract. And upon hearing that, I thought, that's, come on. Seemed a little, you know, like it's a little dramatic.
No, there's something I told him right before the first pitch in Seattle, that I don't want to talk about the contract.
I don't want to talk about it. He went on to talk about how he likes Boston and his family's here and his daughter's graduating and all of that. But because of, you know, the way the last 2 years ended, out of respect and out of respect to the team, he did not want to discuss his contract. Now, why am I harping on this? Well, it happened on my show under my watch. I think it's okay to do that. And also, he said it into a microphone.
Also, we were there on the pregame show. I broke it to you from Jeff Passan.
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, he said it's not like it was some private off-the-record conversation. He said it into the microphone. We had a conversation about it, and we talked about it for the rest of that week. I mean, the rest of that week, Jones and I and Mego, we were all talking about, wow, isn't that strange that he told him that? I wonder what that means. And we all thought, well, I don't know if we all thought this. I thought that that meant I'm out of here. I'm not negotiating with you. I'm not going to do this again. I don't want to be here and sit through another one of these trade deadlines where you don't do anything and then you tell me go out there and compete with this roster while every other team that we're competing with for the wild card goes out and gets a new starting pitcher or a new power hitter or a new closer or whatever while we're sitting here doing nothing. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of all these expectations. I'm tired of being the scapegoat, blah, 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 whatever it is. I mean, listen, he's got a million reasons why he could have said all those things. And that's what it sounded like. When you tell somebody, I don't even want to negotiate. I just want my contract to run out, and that's it, and we'll see what happens after that. That generally means I'm done with this. I'm done with wherever I am. Wherever it is that I'm working, I don't want to work there anymore. That's, to me, what that sounded like. And we asked him, Jones even said, is there a number? Do you have, if they come to you with a number, everybody's got a number. And he goes, no, I said, no contracts, no number, zero. And that he went to them, they didn't come to him, and then he said, no, 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 guys, I don't want to talk about this. He went to them before there was ever a conversation and said, no contract talk this year. I don't want to do it. I'm not doing it. And apparently, he changed his mind. I mean, obviously he changed his mind and took a very, very good kind. Took a good deal.
He's not setting a record. Something that was told to him had to have made him change his mind.
I wonder what it was. And I also am surprised if it was some kind of assurance, hey, we're going to invest, hey, we're going to make trades, hey, we're going to do this,
That's what I'm going for, is that Breslow came in and said, we are going to invest as long as you commit. It had to be something like that.
Listen, this may just be the cynic in me, okay? And I can be, you know me, I've worked with Jones a long time. You get cynical when you do that. You know?
Oh, really?
Six
I hadn't
years.
Noticed.
It turns you cynical. Here's why I'm cynical of that. You didn't hear often Chaim Bloom saying, hey, you know, we're not going to do anything. They often said, we're interested. They were the interest kings, right, during the Chaim Bloom era. They made a couple of moves, but, like, for the most part, you heard about them being interested. After the deadline ended, you said, well, you know, you heard Bloom saying, we'd really try. We were in on this guy, in on that guy. Couldn't find the right deal. Couldn't make it work. Couldn't do what we wanted to do. Who's to say that Craig Breslow, I mean, he's made one move so far to get James Paxton for a Dominican League player. But other than that, who's to say that Craig Breslow is going to be able to have the let me put it this way. Is he going to be able to pull the trigger on a trade that he thinks he's winning, even if he may not be? Is he going to be able to pull the trigger on a trade when he thinks, you know what, they're asking for too many prospects? I don't know if I want to give up all these prospects. I don't know if this is something I want to do. Is he going to have the fortitude to do that? Is he going to be able to negotiate in a way? You know, like, this is his first crack at this. He hasn't done this before. Is he going to be able to negotiate a trade in a way that they come out winning it? Is this going to be able to, is this going to be something that star hitter or star pitcher, he's going to pry these away from these teams? That's not an easy thing to do. Is Breslow going to be able to do that? Just because he says, yeah, we want to invest, yeah, we want to make trades, you got to still go out and do them. And I'm surprised that Cora decided, agreed to all this before the deadline. He's no rush. He wasn't, there wasn't a deadline for him. There's a trade deadline for the team, but Cora didn't have a deadline. So something must have happened here. And I think it had to have been more than just trust us, we're going to make trades, trust us, we're going to bring in someone, you know, like that. That doesn't, that's not good enough. You know, if I'm Alex Cora, I look at that and I go, not, you're going to have to show me. You're going to have to show me. Make a trade. You know, bring in somebody and then let's talk. All right, I don't want to fall for this. You know, I don't want to fall for you telling me, oh, I promise we're going to do something, and then you don't do it, and I look like a schmuck, and all of a sudden I'm getting blamed again for these last place finishes, which is not necessarily fair. He's been around for him, but you know, being the manager on a last place team, they weren't a last place team all year. They were a team that was in the mix for the wild card. They were almost a play. They were one game out of the wild card last year in August. All right, that's not some bottom of the barrel team. And if I'm Alex Cora, I need more of an assurance than just trust me, bro. Like, we're gonna make trades. You know, that's sort of how I feel about that. They've locked him up. They've beat the Yankees. This is what you do. And Travis Thomas, who you're going to hear at 3 o'clock today, had a pretty good theory yesterday. He actually had it the other Thursday, I want to say, on Nesson, on his show on Nesson. But he said, you know, there's Netflix cameras following this team around this year. There's maybe a little bit more pressure on the Tom Warners of the world to create good television. And I hadn't really thought about it like that before, but you know, he's right. Like, that's something that they do care about. They haven't really cared as much about the PR of the team finishing in last place. They haven't shown that that's something that's going to get them motivated. But I do think having these Netflix cameras around, That's beyond Red Sox fans. And I know there's a big web of Red Sox fans. There's a whole network across the whole country, across the whole world of Red Sox fans. But I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm talking about Netflix viewers, a random sports fan who's not a Red Sox fan, who sees the thing on there and then decides to watch it one night when there's nothing else on. You know, and I understand it's going to be a lot of Red Sox fans watching this thing, but it's Netflix. You know, people just watch whatever on Netflix. So it's going to sort of introduce them to fans who may have no idea anything about this ownership group. And now, instead of, okay, they're letting the manager walk, even though he's really popular, they're not doing anything at the deadline, maybe now there's a little bit of added pressure from those cameras following everybody around to get something done here. Because now if you don't, doesn't that make the Cora extension seem a lot more hollow? You know, Joe, you know what I mean, Joe? Like, if you don't make a move now, it's not like it undoes the Cora extension, because that was a very popular move, and I think fans really appreciated that. But, boy, it really takes the wind out of those sails, doesn't it? I think it does. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to some of your phone calls here in just a minute. James Paxton, back with the Red Sox. The crown jewel of the trash heap, I guess, is the best way to put that. Nice to see James Paxton get released, or to get designated for assignment, I should say. Wasn't completely released, and now the Red Sox going out there and making a trade. Kind of an aggressive trade for a guy who was DFA'd, you know, giving up anything, I think, is something that you look at and go, okay, I guess they really wanted him. I hope they didn't want him so much and so aggressively, because they think that's going to be enough. That's all right. We're all set here. Chris Cotillo wrote that the other day. He said, that's probably all they're doing is starting pitching. I hope he's wrong. I like Cotillo, but I hope he's wrong. Because if that's all they're doing as far as starting pitching, then you got a problem. You know, you got a problem there. That is not a rotation that I think is going to be able to carry you to the playoffs. That being said, when you bring in someone like Paxton, at the very least, you have five starters now. And I know Criswell had a good start the other day against the Rockies, but you know, you can look at Paxton and I think feel a little bit better. And he hasn't been good this month. He wasn't good last month. The first 2 months of the season, he was excellent. So I'm not exactly sure what James Paxton you're going to see. That being said, if he can go out there, be an innings eater, and not completely fall apart, then I think you got something. You got some value in that. I mean, you got some value in that as a fifth starter who can pitch with an ERA in the fours and win some games for you if he gets good run support, which he has been getting in L.A. Let's go to the phones here. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to JP in Boston. Go ahead, JP.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect to be on so quickly. Real quick about that home run by Judge.
Yes.
I didn't have a chance to see it live, but I just pulled over and watched the replay. So two names I'll give you out in that area. One was 2018. I think it was the wild card series against the Yankees. I can't remember the guy's name, but he played for the Yankees, and he blasted one just to the left of that, and I think even further than what
Gary Sanchez went. Yeah, I remember that one. It was Sanchez, El Sanchito. Which, where's he, by the way? Whatever happened to him?
Who knows? I don't know. But the other one I'm going to give you, a Boston guy, got to go back to way back to 19, I think it was 78,
okay.
Big Jim Rice. He put one over the flagpole, and it was before they televised games. And I remember in the paper the next day, right, someone took a picture of the ball going over the flagpole, and they had this big white arrow pointing at it. It was
That's
an absolute
awesome.
Bomb, and this is way back in the day. So those are the only two I can remember.
All right, JP, thanks for the call. I love reminiscing about old home runs. If you want to call in and talk about your favorite, you know, longest home run at Fenway, it is Saturday afternoon, folks. It's exactly the type of day to do something like this.
It's not mass. Rules don't apply.
It is absolutely right. We're not, you know, we're not doing the Psalms. We're not doing communion. We're sitting here talking about dingers.
By the way, Gary Sanchez is with the Brewers right now.
He's with the Brewers now.
Backup catcher.
Okay. He was not a good catcher. I remember in 2021 in that run-up, all those pass balls he had. Oh, man. I was behind the plate for one of those games, and we were screaming at Gary Sanchez. It was so much fun. And as we screamed louder and louder, he kept dropping more and more balls. It was great. That was a blast. I remember Manny Ramirez hitting one off Roy Halladay, God rest his soul, I thought it went over the turnpike. I forget what year it was. But it was one of the longest home runs I've ever seen, one of the just absolute biggest bombs I've ever seen in my life. I remember Willie Mopena hitting one. I forget who it was against, but I remember him hitting one that I thought was going to get out into Kenmore Square. There's a few if you think about them. Over the monster I'm really talking about, because the other ones all stay in the park. 617-779-7937. Paul is in Westfield. Hi, Paul.
Hey, it's funny hearing what you said about Jim Rice. I remember when I was a kid, I was walking towards, I didn't realize they had, you know, when they warm up the pitchers, and I
right.
heard the noise of whizzing. And just for perspective, people don't understand. If you put your hand out the window at 95 miles an hour, it's a lot of noise. I heard that noise, and then the loudest thought I've ever heard. I walk over, and I couldn't believe it. I was probably like a child, and I remember Carlton Fisk, like, lifted his mask, and he seemed like a giant angel with glowing eyes, like a monster human. He was so full of joy. It was a trip. You know, I never forget it. And, hey, to your question about Pivetta, I agree with Paxton, what you said about Paxton. Which one is it? And that's with our whole pitching staff. The reality is the dumpy games after the All-Star break, the L.A. series were really good back and forth with six lead changes, except for the one game. And we had a bad time with Colorado. That's not – a sample. 20 games is a sample. And when we're playing well and our pitchers are doing well, we have the craziest bats. So we're very dangerous. It's just a matter of staying healthy and being on the right curve at the playoffs with the pitchers.
Yeah, Paul, you know, listen, I agree. Health is important. This team, when they're healthy, is much stronger and tougher, and that's when they went on their big win streak. Prior to them getting healthy, the Red Sox were a 500 team most of this year. Remember, they couldn't get out of their own way. They win two games and they lose two. They were even Steven, like Jerry Seinfeld. You know, you throw the 20 out the window, boom, 20 right in the pocket. Like, that's what they were. They were just right at 500. We asked Cora about it. He was frustrated by it. He knew this team was better than that. And they were treading water and they were dealing with tons of injuries. Once guys started coming back, you noticed. I mean, that's when the hot streak started. That's when they rocketed 10 games over 500 and made themselves a real contender here in this wild card race. And when you talk about, you know, well, it's no big deal. They'll win. It's not a sample. It is a sample. I hate to tell you, Paul. Like, it is a sample. Five or six games coming out of the All-Star break like that, they haven't lost five out of six games really all year. You know, it's very rare that you've seen that with this team, and that's the reason they've been able to hang around so much. So when you're on the outside looking into the playoffs by one game on that wild card, and, you know, you drop five out of six. Yeah, a 20-game sample size obviously tells you more about the team and where they're going. But that's not what's important right now. What's important right now is fixing what's wrong with your team, and we can enjoy what we've seen so far with this team this year, but also acknowledge that there are some holes in this roster. It's fixing what's wrong with the team and then winning, you know, with what the fixes that you bring in. And that's not necessarily an easy thing to do, and you don't have a playoff spot locked up. You're on the outside looking in right now, and you have been most of the year. Now, you get up into that third wild card, your playoff odds go up, and that matters to this team. This organization, they care about playoff odds. They care about those percentages. That's a big reason why I think it took them so long to decide if they wanted to invest or not. This team was flailing a little bit, you know, coming out of the All-Star break, and all of a sudden, here comes Sam Kennedy saying, hey, let's all not make big proclamations here. Let's all relax and not make promises we can't keep everybody. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You haven't picked a lane yet? I don't know if you noticed this, but the Orioles just picked up a new number one starter. You got Seattle over there making moves.
They like 1A and 1B. How about really? That 1-2 punch, Burns and Eflin?
Yeah. You think they're worried about that? They got a young team. They got a young team with a bunch of good young players on it, all up and down that roster. And they said, you know what? We don't need these prospects. We don't need these prospects right now. We can move on from some of them, and we can go out there and land a big fish, and they did. And it wasn't just a big fish. It's a big fish in your division. Someone you should have been looking at. Someone you should have been serious about. And you let the Orioles, the first-place Baltimore Orioles, go out there and do that because you've been sitting around hemming and hawing over whether or not you want to even buy at the deadline, which I'm sorry. That's infuriating. If they get beat to the punch here because they were waiting too long while other teams were starting to... I read a scouting report the other day on MLB.com, a whole article about how the Rays were scouting the Yankees prospects and you had the Blue Jays scouting the Orioles prospects and a couple other teams out there. Nothing about the Red Sox. And it's like, okay, you know, we got a couple of days here, less than a week before this thing hits. And you're still talking, well, I don't know if we want to do that. Let's see. Other teams are scouting. They're scouting prospects. Other teams are building the framework of a deal. You're still deciding whether or not you want to even invest. Like, come on. That's annoying. And that's sort of what I'm worried about. Like, Breslow could have the best intentions in the world, Joe. He could be ready to go. He could be chomping at the bit to go out there and make trades. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to happen. And if they've been waiting too long to give him the green light to go out there and move some of these prospects, other teams are going to make these moves. That's what's going to happen. You're seeing it already.
I guess that's where you debate on was giving the extension to Alex Cora the green light. I guess we have to figure out, like, if they do give him the green light and they give Breslow the opportunity to go add, as you said, is it too little? Is it too late? We don't know when that is, if they've even given it on the day we're talking.
Yeah, and you're not going to hear it from them. You're not going to hear it from John Henry. You're not going to hear it from Sam Kennedy. What'd you hear from Sam Kennedy? Whoa, yeah. Hey, everybody wants to help the team, sure, but let's gear down, big shifter. I didn't say anything about a trade. It's like, what? It's like, come on. How else are you going to do
it? He's got PTSD from Full Throttle.
Seriously, I mean, yeah, that's what it seems like. And understandably, okay, that Full Throttle thing was an embarrassment. But listen, that was the owner saying that. That was the owner in the offseason saying, yeah, we're going full throttle to try and help this team. And he lied. If he's lying, how are we supposed to trust the guy who works for him? You know, like, how's that supposed to work? 617-779-7937. There's your
phone number. You're
a liar. Thank you very much. We'll get to more of your phone calls. When we come back, the Red Sox, if you haven't noticed, kind of own the Yankees lately, and I like that a lot. The other teams in the AL East, we'll take a look at them. Some of them are selling. Some of them are trying to buy, and we'll see if Alex Cora and his managerial style can help push the Red Sox past some of these other teams. That's all coming up next right here on WEEI.
That was last inning. Line drive, base hit through the middle. In a center field, one run is scored. Abreu will score two. It's 9-7 Red Sox on a line single in a center by Yoshida. And a Yankee-Red Sox classic in the opener of this three-game series at rollicking Fenway Park.
It was rollicking, and it was certainly rollicking thanks to Masataka Yoshida right there, a certified Yankee killer. I wasn't quite ready to call him that after that home run in extra innings a couple weeks ago. But now, I don't know what else you can say. Tremendous at bat there.
There was, for a long time, at least me personally, I thought he was definitely going to be out of here. But if he's doing this to the Yankees, I think you got to keep him around.
Oh, you keep him around, for sure. You know, the Yankee killer, he's not been great against everybody else, and he's not good against lefties. But he had a good game last night. They were able to get to him by...
Can contracts be modified for specific opponents?
I wish they could. That would be nice.
Trade in Justin Turner. Yankee games. You only need Yoshida for when they play the Yankees.
Yeah, it's fine. You could have a whole roster of guys like that. I agree with you, Joe. I thought Yoshida was going to be someone that they added on to make a trade, you know, just to get him out of here. Because he's a lefty DH who can't hit. You can't field him anywhere. And he wasn't hitting the ball. So I was a little worried about that. He was injured. It just seemed like that was one of those contracts that you look at and go, man, like this one really bombed out. And it's still not a great contract. I'm not acting like Yoshida has been some spark plug all season long. But that was definitely a big against the Yankees here these last couple of series. He has been killing them, and it has been great to see that. You know, Devers, we know already. Devers is great against the Yankees. He was great at Yankee Stadium. To see Yoshida kind of emerge as a new Yankee killer, I think is great. The Yankees, I'm concerned about. I'm sure that going 11-24 over their last 35 games has got the junior Steinbrenners all hot and bothered there as they try and figure out what they want to do with the trade deadline. I'd imagine they're going to be active. They got some prospects. They have some young major league ready guys who they may move on from. It is the Yankees after all. They haven't made a ton of big moves at deadlines, but you know, Juan Soto's there. Like they're out there shopping. Gerrit Cole, they're still doing more than you are. They're not the big bad Yankees anymore, but they're still doing more than the Red Sox. And don't look now, but a lot of other teams in the American League East, pretty much almost every trade that's been executed so far, except for AJ Puck to the Diamondbacks, almost every single other one has involved an AL East team of some way or another. And that trade, let's just talk about that trade for a second here. AJ Puck, who is not a great pitcher, they tried to make him a starter in Florida this year, and he wasn't very good. He had a disastrous start to the year. Then they put him in the bullpen, and he's been good in the bullpen. Lefty reliever, got a 2.08 ERA. Certainly a type of addition that you'd want there, and the Diamondbacks got a good player. But they had to give up, the D-backs had to give up, Division De Los Santos and Andrew Pinter. De Los Santos is the Marlins' fourth-rated prospect. He's not in the top 100 on MLB.com, which, sorry if you're a big prospect guy, I'm simple. That's how I grade them. Pinter's not on there either, obviously. He's like 19th in their system. But the Marlins had three, or they still do have three studs that they're probably not going to trade, who are in the top 100 and who they consider to be their, you know, next wave of players. And the Marlins, I mean, listen, they've sucked for years. So when that happens, when they have hot prospects, they want to maximize that because they don't want to pay anybody. They traded their guy Puck to get these two guys in here. And I wonder, if you're the Diamondbacks, you know, if you're the Diamondbacks, that's your number four prospect. And the Red Sox number four prospect is probably someone along the lines of Miguel Blase or Nick York. And if that's the market, we heard the other day Sam Kennedy say, hey, we don't even know what the market is yet. Well, first of all, you should be trying to set the market. You should be out there affecting the market, not just sitting at home watching the stocks go up and down. You should be a part of this market, Sam. All right? That's annoying to hear that kind of talk, because now this is what the market becomes. All right? Now it's costing you fourth overall, you know, fourth best prospect in your organization, plus another one, just to bring in a guy like AJ Puck, who's, again, you know, a fine lefty reliever, but that is a bit more than I was expecting anybody to have to pay for someone like that. Then there's all these AL East trades. The Mariners getting Randy Arozarena from the Rays for Aiden Smith and Brody Hopkins and a player to be named later. Arozarena, by the way, has been two packs of ass this year. He has been awful. And they made him available because, you know, it's maybe a change of scenery will do this guy some good. And maybe that will do him some good. But Arozarena has not been good this year. So that's some one of those guys that was on the list. You know, he's on the trade block. Red Sox, we've been talking about him. He was one of those guys I was a little nervous about because are you going to give up big prospect capital for this guy who's having the worst year of his career? It's not huge prospect capital that you got there. But it's not great. You got two players who were drafted last year. They're both in high A, or in low A, I should say. They were performing well. But, you know, guys who are probably a ways away, long-range prospects, and maybe someday he'll give you something. For Arozarena, if I was the Rays, I probably would have wanted guys who were a little bit more major league ready. But either way, that's what it took. A couple of single-A guys to get Arozarena in Seattle. The Red Sox traded Moises Bolivar for James Paxton. We've discussed that one at pretty great length. There was the Orioles adding Sir Anthony Dominguez and Christian Patch for Austin Hayes. The Phillies and the Orioles, the two best teams in the division, like the Orioles, I think, are the best team in the AL. Phillies are the best team in the NL, and they're trading big leaguers, you know, like not just the
odd partners. I would say Orioles, Phillies, and then Orioles, Rays,
yeah,
in division.
But the Orioles are out there trying to get it done. I mean, the Orioles are out there making moves. The Orioles are not sitting around waiting for the market to develop. They're setting that market. So there was that weird trade with the Phillies. Dominguez and Patch is who they brought in. They lost Austin Hayes for the Orioles. I thought that was a weird kind of lateral move. Either way, the big one was the three prospects going to Tampa for Zach Eflin, and the Orioles now have really, I mean, last year they picked up Flaherty. That didn't work out great. He's been better this year, but you got a pitching staff in Baltimore that's really banged up. You got some guys that they're waiting to see come back, guys who they're not sure if they are going to come back, and they package three of their prospects together, and they go out there and they get Eflin. And I don't think Eflin's going to be the ace of that staff, but he'd be the number two starter on the Red Sox, right? I mean, he's going to be their number two, number three starter. That's what he'd be here. That's prospect capital. That's a ballsy trade. That's a gutsy trade. That's something you do when you're serious about where you are. And the Orioles right now are number one in the AL East. All right, they are right there at the top, and they are not looking to turn that over anytime soon, especially with the way the Yankees are playing. The Yankees, I'm surprised, haven't made moves already either. There was another trade. The Mariners, who already traded for Arozarena, traded for Yimi Garcia, relief pitcher from the Toronto Blue Jays, for Jonathan Clase and Jacob Sharp. And I said Jonathan on purpose right there because there's no H in his name. I don't know much about any of these guys, but this is more of what it takes to get relievers in the AL East. A couple of prospects there, probably not top 100 guys, fine. And then, of course, there was the Mets and the Mariners. They made another deal today. The Mariners are right there, right around hovering with you on that last wild card spot. And if they end up passing you, you can look back at this trade deadline and say, okay, well, you know, one team was active, one team wasn't. One team was out there making sure that they didn't end up getting pantsed and that they got what they needed, at the very least got you know, the deals that they could do before the deadline even hit, and we'll see if they're done. I know the Red Sox have barely even started, and if they're all done here with James Paxton, I think we'll all be pretty disappointed. I certainly know I will. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here as we detour away from baseball, but before we do that, let's go to Bob in Westwood. He wants to talk about long home runs, and I did say I was going to be opening up the phone calls to this. Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. I finally made it to Cleveland.
Okay. Very good.
Anyway, one of my fondest memories, I was going back in the 70s now, so bear with me.
It's okay.
I was walking with two other guys up to the bridge, you know, east of the park. And the game just started, and I think it was they had a Sonny Siebert for the Red Sox.
Okay.
And Vida Blue for Oakland. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, we hear Ken, I think it was Ken Coleman who yelled out, and there's a long fly ball hit deep to left field, and we see this thing coming over the netting. And
you had a radio with you, or you heard him all the way from the bridge? You couldn't have heard him from the bridge.
No, we had a little radio with it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that tests the. I like a good story, but that seems a little impossible to believe. Anyway, go on, Bob. Sorry.
Didn't yell that much. But anyway, so the ball sails over the netting onto the roof. I think it was a parking lot. Mm-hmm. And my friend late made a beeline to get that ball. It's incredible. But that was one of my fondest home run memories. And my God, I'm dating myself. Yikes.
Anyway, that's all right. Anyway. Listen, Bob, just remembering the time when there was nets up there and not monster seats dates. I remember when people used to do the wave. And the wave would go around, it would get to the very end, and everyone would pause for the nets, and then they'd pick it back up in center field. Now, that's the wave, okay? Anybody can just stand up. There was timing and dexterity that went into it back in those days. Let's take one more call here. Mike's in Watertown. He has some trade suggestions. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, first off, how you doing? I'm a Yankee fan, but I got to tell you, I got to give props to the Sox. They're hanging in there. I think you look at some guys like Tyler O'Neill. You know, they could have been in the Yankee uniform, right? He could have been playing in left field instead of Verdugo. I know the Yankees tried to trade for him, but So two things: the longest home run. I used to be even though I'm a Yankee fan, I used to be a long time season ticket holder to the Red Sox. Had seats dead center field, 10 rows up. Maglio Ordonez, I'll never forget, hit a ball for the White Sox. And I got to tell you, I thought it was one of the longest balls I've ever seen. It was like probably 10, 15 rows up center field, to the right.
It must have been like mid-2000s if he was in Chicago still, right?
Yeah. And I tell people that story. I said, I went to a lot of games. I never saw a ball hit that far. The second thing with the Sox, I mean, I like the Paxton move. You know, I got to say, listen, should they trade the farm to make a run this year? I mean, I think the Cora extension, giving him, the ability to come back. You got Story coming back. You got Giolito coming back. I mean, I think they're looking longer term, but I think the one thing they need to do is try to get some bullpen arms, right? And then they got to shore up that infield defense. You got to get a utility guy, maybe a Merrifield, somebody that you can bring in that can be an insert to help defensively, because they're making too many errors in the infield.
They have, and that's been a problem lately, Mike. Thanks for the call. We're up against the top of the hour here. Merrifield, I think, went somewhere. But, yeah, you need to do more than that. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want a utility infielder at the deadline. They did that last year with that Urias kid. You know, that was their big move at the deadline, was Luis Urias. And it's like, come on, I need more than that. Selling the farm. You have a farm system that is the envy of Major League Baseball. I heard that during the draft. I heard that during the Futures game. Nationally, that's what people are saying. You have a lot of good prospects all up and down your AAA, AA, single A, all the way down to the Dominican League. You got plenty of guys. So, yeah, now's the time. You got young players contributing on the team right now, guys, prospects who were blocked by these outfielders and everything else that you have. Now's the time. Now's the time you start making the trades. You try and make a run this year, and you try and get these guys some success here early on in their careers. That's what I would like to see. And why not start the Alex Cora extension off with the playoff run? You don't have to win the World Series right away. I don't think people are expecting that. People aren't going to be disappointed if you don't win at all, but we're going to be disappointed if you don't invest and you don't try.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was last inning. Line drive, base hit through the middle. In the center field, one run is scored. Abreu will score two. It's 9-7 Red Sox on a line single in the center by Yoshida. And a Yankee Red Sox classic in the opener of this three-game series at rollicking Fenway Park.
It was rollicking. And it was certainly rollicking, thanks to Masataka Yoshida right there, a certified Yankee killer. I wasn't quite ready to call him that after that home run in extra innings a couple weeks ago. But now I don't know what else you can say. Tremendous at bat there.
There was nice for a long time, at least me personally, I thought he was definitely going to be out of here. But if he's doing this to the Yankees, I think you got to keep him around.
Oh, you keep him around for sure. You know, the Yankee killer. He's not been great against everybody else, and he's not good against lefties. But he had a good game last night. They were able to get to him by...
Can contracts be modified for specific opponents?
I wish they could. That would be nice.
Trade in Justin Turner. Yankee games. You only need Yoshida for when they play the Yankees.
Yeah, it's fine. You could have a whole roster of guys like that. I agree with you, Joe. I thought Yoshida was going to be someone that they added on to make a trade, you know, just to get him out of here. Because he's a lefty DH who can't hit. You can't field him anywhere. And he wasn't hitting the ball. So I was a little worried about that. He was injured. It just seemed like that was one of those contracts that you look at and go, man, like this one really bombed out. And it's still not a great contract. I'm not acting like Yoshida has been some spark plug all season long. But that was definitely a big against the Yankees here these last couple of series. He has been killing them, and it has been great to see that. You know, Devers, we know already, Devers is great against the Yankees. He was great at Yankee Stadium. To see Yoshida kind of emerge as a new Yankee killer, I think is great. The Yankees, I'm concerned about. I'm sure that going 11-24 over their last 35 games has got the junior Steinbrenners all hot and bothered there as they try and figure out what they want to do with the trade deadline. I'd imagine they're going to be active. They got some prospects. They have some young major league ready guys who they may move on from. It is the Yankees after all. They haven't made a ton of big moves at deadlines, but you know, Juan Soto's there. Like they're out there shopping. Garrett Cole, they're still doing more than you are. They're not the big bad Yankees anymore, but they're still doing more than the Red Sox. And don't look now, but a lot of other teams in the American League East, pretty much almost every trade that's been executed so far, except for AJ Puck to the Diamondbacks, almost every single other one has involved an AL East team of some way or another. And that trade, let's just talk about that trade for a second here. AJ Puck, who is not a great pitcher, they tried to make him a starter in Florida this year, and he wasn't very good. He had a disastrous start to the year. Then they put him in the bullpen, and he's been good in the bullpen. Lefty reliever, got a 2.08 ERA. Certainly the type of addition that you'd want there, and the Diamondbacks got a good player. But they had to give up. The D-backs had to give up Division De Los Santos and Andrew Pinter. De Los Santos is the Marlins' fourth-rated prospect. He's not in the top 100 on MLB.com, which, sorry if you're a big prospect guy. I'm simple. That's how I grade them. Pinter's not on there either, obviously. He's like 19th in their system. But the Marlins had three, or they still do have three studs that they're probably not going to trade, who are in the top 100 and who they consider to be their, you know, next wave of players. And the Marlins, I mean, listen, they've sucked for years. So when that happens, when they have hot prospects, they want to maximize that because they don't want to pay anybody. They traded their guy Puck to get these two guys in here. And I wonder, if you're the Diamondbacks, you know, if you're the Diamondbacks, that's your number four prospect. And the Red Sox number four prospect is probably someone along the lines of Miguel Blase or Nick York. And if that's the market, we heard the other day Sam Kennedy say, hey, we don't even know what the market is yet. First of all, you should be trying to set the market. You should be out there affecting the market, not just sitting at home watching the stocks go up and down. You should be a part of this market, Sam. All right? That's annoying to hear that kind of talk, because now this is what the market becomes. All right? Now it's costing you fourth overall, you know, fourth best prospect in your organization, plus another one, just to bring in a guy like A.J. Puck, who's, again, you know, a fine lefty reliever, but that is a bit more than I was expecting anybody to have to pay for someone like that. Then there's all these AL East trades. The Mariners getting Randy Arozarena from the Rays for Aiden Smith and Brody Hopkins and a player to be named later. Arozarena, by the way, has been two packs of ass this year. He has been awful. And they made him available because, you know, it's maybe a change of scenery will do this guy some good. And maybe that will do him some good. But Arozarena has not been good this year. So that's one of those guys that was on the list. You know, he's on the trade block. Red Sox, we've been talking about him. He was one of those guys I was a little nervous about, because are you going to give up big prospect capital for this guy who's having the worst year of his career? It's not huge prospect capital that you got there. But it's not great. You got two players who were drafted last year. They're both in high A, or in low A, I should say. They were performing well. But, you know, guys who are probably a ways away, long-range prospects, and maybe someday he'll give you something. For Arozarena, if I was the Rays, I probably would have wanted guys who were a little bit more major league ready. But either way, that's what it took. A couple of single-A guys to get Arozarena in Seattle. The Red Sox traded Moises Bolivar for James Paxton. We've discussed that one at pretty great length. There was the Orioles adding Sir Anthony Dominguez and Christian Patch for Austin Hayes. The Phillies and the Orioles, the two best teams in the division, like, right? Like, the Orioles, I think, are the best team in the AL. Phillies are the best team in the NL, and they're trading big leaguers, you know? Like, not just the
odd partners. Odd partners, I would say. Orioles, Phillies, and then Orioles, Rays.
Yeah.
In division.
But the Orioles are out there trying to get it done. I mean, the Orioles are out there making moves. The Orioles are not sitting around waiting for the market to develop. They're setting that market. So there was that weird trade with the Phillies. Dominguez and Patch is who they brought in. They lost Austin Hayes for the Orioles. I thought that was a weird kind of lateral move. Either way, the big one was the three prospects going to Tampa for Zach Eflin. And the Orioles now have really, I mean, last year they picked up Flaherty. That didn't work out great. He's been better this year. But you got a pitching staff in Baltimore that's really banged up. You got some guys that they're waiting to see come back, guys who they're not sure if they are going to come back. And they package three of their prospects together, and they go out there and they get Eflin. And I don't think Eflin's going to be the ace of that staff, but he'd be the number two starter on the Red Sox, right? I mean, he's going to be their number two, number three starter. That's what he'd be here. That's prospect capital. That's a ballsy trade. That's a gutsy trade. That's something you do when you're serious about where you are. And the Orioles right now are number one in the AL East. All right, they are right there at the top, and they are not looking to turn that over anytime soon, especially with the way the Yankees are playing. The Yankees, I'm surprised, haven't made moves already either. There was another trade. The Mariners, who already traded for Arozarena, traded for Yimi Garcia, relief pitcher from the Toronto Blue Jays, for Jonathan Clase and Jacob Sharp. And I said Jonathan on purpose right there because there's no H in his name. I don't know much about any of these guys, but this is more of what it takes to get relievers in the AL East. A couple of prospects there, probably not top 100 guys, fine. And then, of course, there was the Mets and the Mariners. They made another deal today. The Mariners are right there, right around hovering with you on that last wild card spot. And if they end up passing you, you can look back at this trade deadline and say, okay, well, you know, one team was active, one team wasn't. One team was out there making sure that they didn't end up getting pantsed and that they got what they needed, at the very least got you know, the deals that they could do before the deadline even hit. And we'll see if they're done. I know the Red Sox have barely even started, and if they're all done here with James Paxton, I think we'll all be pretty disappointed. I certainly know I will. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here as we detour away from baseball. But before we do that, let's go to Bob in Westwood. He wants to talk about long home runs, and I did say I was going to be opening up the phone calls to this. Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. I finally made it to Cleveland.
Okay. Very good.
Anyway, one of my fondest memories, I was going back in the 70s now, so bear with me.
It's okay.
I was walking with two other guys up to the bridge, you know, at least to the park. And the game just started, and I think it was one of the – they had a Sonny Siebert for the Red Sox.
Okay.
And Vida Blue for Oakland. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, we hear Ken – I think it was Ken Coleman who yelled out, and there's a long fly ball hit deep to left field, and we see this thing coming over the netting. And it's –
well, you had a radio with you, or you heard him all the way from the bridge? You couldn't have heard him from the bridge.
No, we had a little radio with us.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that tests the...
That's kind of weird.
I like a good
yeah.
story, but that seems a little impossible to believe. Anyway, go on, Bob. Sorry.
Didn't yell that much. But anyway, so the ball seals over the netting onto the roof. I think it was a parking lot. Mm-hmm. And my friend made a beeline to get that ball. It's incredible. But that was one of my fondest home run memories. And my God, I'm dating myself. Yikes.
Anyway. That's all right. Hey, listen, Bob, hey, just remembering the time when there was nets up there and not monster seats dates. I remember when people used to do the wave, and the wave would go around, it would get to the very end, and everyone would pause for the nets, and then they'd pick it back up in center field. That was – now, that's the wave, okay? Anybody can just stand up. There was timing and dexterity that went into it back in those days. Let's take one more call here. Mike's in Watertown. He has some trade suggestions. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, first off, how you doing? I'm a Yankee fan, but I got to tell you, I got to give props to the Sox. They're hanging in there. I think you look at some guys like Tyler O'Neill, you know, they could have been in the Yankee uniform, right? That could he could have been playing in left field instead of Verdugo. I know the Yankees tried to trade for him, but so two things. The longest home run, I used to be even though I'm a Yankee fan, I used to be a long time season ticket holder to the Red Sox. Had seats dead center field, 10 rows up. Maglio Ordonez, I'll never forget, hit a ball for the White Sox. And I got to tell you, I thought it was one of the longest balls I've ever seen. It was like probably 10, 15 rows up center field, you know, to the right. So just
what
a story
year,
there.
Was and this around? It must have been like mid-2000s if he was in Chicago still, right?
Yeah. And I tell people that story. I said, I went to a lot of games. I never saw a ball hit that far. You know, the second thing with the Sox, I mean, I like the Paxton move. You know, I got to say, listen, should they trade the farm to make a run this year? I mean, I think the Cora extension, you know, giving him, you know, the ability to come back. You got Story coming back. You got Giolito coming back. I mean, I think they're looking longer term, but I think the one thing they need to do is try to get some bullpen arms, right? And then they got to shore up that infield defense. You got to get a utility guy, maybe a Merrifield, somebody that you can bring in that can be an insert to help defensively, because they're making too many errors in the infield.
They have, and that's been a problem lately, Mike. Thanks for the call. We're up against the top of the hour here. Merrifield, I think, went somewhere. But, yeah, you need to do more than that. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want a utility infielder at the deadline. They did that last year with that Urias kid. You know, that was their big move at the deadline, was Luis Urias. And it's like, come on, I need more than that. Selling the farm? you have a farm system that is the envy of Major League Baseball. I heard that during the draft. I heard that during the futures game. Nationally, that's what people are saying. You have a lot of good prospects all up and down your Triple A, Double A, Single A, all the way down to the Dominican League. You got plenty of guys. So, yeah, now's the time. You got young players contributing on the team right now, guys, prospects who were blocked by these outfielders and everything else that you have. Now's the time. Now's the time you start making the trades. You try and make a run this year, and you try and get these guys some success here early on in their careers. That's what I would like to see. And why not start the Alex Cora extension off with the playoff run? You don't have to win the World Series right away. I don't think people are expecting that. People aren't going to be disappointed if you don't win at all, but we're going to be disappointed if you don't invest and you don't try. That'll I think turn a lot of people off here, even with this very popular extension that you gave to Alex Cora. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll switch gears, talk some Patriots with you next.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.